This is Paul writing as he was in Ephesus, 1 Corinthians 15:58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Hallelujah. I simply want to share some thoughts this morning on always abounding in the work of the Lord. Therefore, my beloved brethren, it's addressed to the church at Corinth, exhorting them to be ye what? Steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. This should be a priority. Some say, well, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, we need to understand the Bible is full of instruction. Number one, we are all called into the ministry of prayer. How many of us know we're all supposed to be involved in praying for one another? Prayer is just not for you, it's for others. 1 Corinthians 16, and let's start off at verse 5. This speaking of Paul in Ephesus. Verse 5, now I will come unto you, he's telling them, when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia, and it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whatsoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit it. But I will tarry at Ephesus. I want to come to you, but I'm going to tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost. Verse 9. For a great door and effectual is opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. God has opened the door for me to do his work. But yet there's things coming against me. Every true work of God will always be met with adversity. If you were called and God opens a door for you to do a work, matter of fact, if you've been called, you're blessed to do the work of the Lord. For many are called, but only a few are chosen. Every door that God's opened will be met with adversity. Now, if you don't work in the ministry, or you don't really care to work and do a work in the ministry to reach the lost, some of this will not apply to you this morning, but I will bring it down to where it will help you and encourage you to understand when you get into the work of the Lord, when you were called into the work of the Lord, I would rather state it that way. You need to count the cost, for there is a price to pay to do a work for God and with God. I believe the church is getting ready to see some great adversity. They already are in the Middle East and around the world. And I believe God's doing some great things right here. Unless you would get discouraged, I'm going to give you a lesson this morning. Don't go by the way you feel. Some of you this morning say, well, there's not a lot happening right now. I just don't really feel things. Or God's doing more than you think he is. Well, I just don't feel liberty. I don't feel things are going the way that I think. God's working. That's why the devil's fighting. Hello. Every door that God will open for you in his will and purpose and plan for your life, it will bring adversity. There is a great door that was opened to Paul in Ephesus. Ephesus was a place like America. It was a major commerce area during his time. Much money was going through there. Many things were being sold, coming and going. But there was also in the spiritual realm a lot of wickedness, a lot of evil, a lot of ungodly things. There was so much false religion. There was so much adultery and fornication and wickedness and sin. And even men that were religious, so-called men and priests, they were full of lust and perversion. And they had a lot of religious know-it-alls in Ephesus. Men that thought they had gifts and power with God. But really what they were imposters. They were not truly sent by God or doing a work for God, but yet they were false brethren. They were men that Paul described, amen, that would hinder him and the work that he was doing. He said there's a great door to preach the gospel in Ephesus. How many of us have really, really faced some real adversity in our lives? Hardship, pain, suffering. In our natural lives, yes. But Paul had all this trouble coming on him because of who he was serving. See, the devil doesn't care about you when you don't know Christ. He's not worried about you because Jesus said you're either for me or you're against me. But soon as you get on the Lord's side, and you come to serve the Lord, and you really begin to take your calling and election sure, and you begin to realize who you are in Christ, and you begin to realize now I'm not a sinner anymore, that I'm a saint of the Most High God, a God that's called me out of darkness into the light. Can I tell you, the devil will know your name. He'll know who you are, and you become a target. You become the one with the mark on you, and every demon from hell will begin to come against you. That's why a lot of people don't really count the cost when they get saved. They get saved, and Jesus gave that description of the seed being sown on ground that was 30 and 60 and 100. And there's a lot of people in that 30 and 60 range that don't make it. They serve the Lord for a little while, but when trials come, they get out of the race or they shipwreck their faith. Can I tell you, if you're going to be in the Lord's army and you're going to be a true saint of the Almighty God and one that's called to do His work, you are going to face adversity. You are going to face trials. You are going to have affliction. You're going to have demonic power coming from the pits of hell that are going to come against you. But can I tell you, if God be for us, who can be against us? The good news is yes, there are doors that are open, but oh, there are many adverse things coming against the true called saints of God. The great door of opportunity. God has given some of you a great opportunity when He called you to work for Him, if you will let me say it that way. Called you to be a servant. And now your life is no more your own because you've been bought with a price. See, this is the cost that this modern day generation does not count. They don't consider. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you first got to be willing to take up your cross, deny yourself, and follow me. Is that the truth? Amen. Counting the cost of opposition. Many of us are praying for doors to be open. Can I tell you, when you pray for God's doors to be open, every opportunity that He gives you, I want you to listen closely now, every opportunity will be met with opposition. Soon as you try to do something for God or try to obey God, the devil's going to fight you. I've seen it happen with folks coming to church in the morning just simply on Sunday morning. Everything comes against them. All hell breaks loose. I've heard so many reasons why folks can't come to church. Some of them are legitimate. Some of them are just the devil fighting the people. All of a sudden they get sick out of the blue. They're throwing up. They're nauseous. They're dizzy. I mean, the vehicle won't run. The animals. And I mean, you go on and on and on. I don't know how many pastors I've talked to that folks got to take their animals to the vet and they got to miss church. I'll leave that one alone. But I'm just saying, it's amazing. We're in a battle. I said, we're in a battle. I feel the battle this morning. Can I tell you, the devil ain't fighting nothing that God ain't in? I know that ain't proper English, but if God's not in it, the devil doesn't bother it. But when God's in it and God's on the move and God is moving by His power and by His Spirit, there's a resistance, there's a hindrance, there's something coming against it because the devil knows what's on the other side of that door is a great opportunity. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Amen. There's some great things on the other side of your opportunity. There's a door standing before some of you and it's an opportunity to step into a new realm of God's will. for your life, but some of you are allowing the devil to hinder you. A door represents opportunity. Stepping into something new, something that God has in store for you. Every opportunity will be met with opposition. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man that shutteth. This is Christ speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos. And shutteth, and no man can open. If I can shut doors, I can open doors. And trust me, when God shuts the door, just like he shut the door on the ark, nobody's going to get in and nobody's going to get out. Verse 8 says, I know thy works, church at Philadelphia. Behold, I have set before thee, and what? Open door. And no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and thou hast kept my word. And has not denied my name. Notice how he described, you've got an open door, but you don't have much strength. You don't have much power. Why would he tell them that? How many of us know that we can do nothing without the Lord? Paul was a man on a mission. Paul was a man that was called supernaturally on that road to Damascus. When he went on his mission journeys, Paul was met with much adversity, much struggle, much heartache, much pain. He had many doors open to him that no doubt were the Lord, because the Lord says, I'm going to call you to preach this gospel to the Gentiles and throughout that region of the world. But every door that he went through, it was met with opposition. It was met with hardship. It was met with pain. And can I tell you what God has been showing me? That we are living in a day and an hour where, yes, the harvest is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know why some people don't want to get in this fight? Because it's too hard. It's too difficult. It's too much of a sacrifice. Let me tell you, this is not for the faint. This is not for the weary. This isn't for those that really aren't going to be wholly dedicated and committed. If you're going to get into doing a work for God, you better get ready for some opposition and some adversity to come to your life. A lot of sinners said, man, I thought my life would get better when I started serving Jesus. They realized when they started serving Jesus, all hell came against them. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Paul said, I've got a great opportunity to preach the gospel, amen, to this wicked city of the Ephesians. There's a great opportunity, great effectual opportunity. You could hear it in his voice, but he says, but yet I've got a lot of adversity coming against me. The devil doesn't want some of us really fulfilling our call that God has upon our life. He wants to lie to some of us. He wants to discourage some of us. He wants to allow the enemy to come in like a flood and bring everything he can up on us in every angle. He wants us to be afflicted in body. Amen. Family members will pass away. Financial troubles will come. And the enemy comes in and lies and pounds your mind through dreams and through different times during the day where you're so tormented you can't even think straight. Fears within, fears without. Amen. Problems with your brothers, problems with your sisters, problems with your family members. Amen. You can't hardly make two ends meet. You can't pay your bills. You got to scratch up money to go get milk and put some gas in the tank. But can I tell you, the devil is a liar. God said, I am the door, and when I open a door, no man can shut it. And I had to remind myself that if God is for me, who can be against me? So yeah, every door will be met with opposition. But what are we going to do when the opposition comes? Are we going to lay down and not go through the door because we're scared? Paul recognized it. He said, there's a great door of opportunity. Hallelujah. He said, and yes, there are many adversaries, but I'm going to stay right here in Ephesus, and I'm going to stay until Pentecost. I'm going to continue to preach the word. I'm going to continue to teach. I'm going to continue to see people get healed. I'm going to continue to see people get saved. I'm going to be faithful to preach this gospel unto all the world. Come on, somebody. Amen. How many want to understand that yes, there's adversity. Yes, there's things coming against us. But we need to be faithful to the call of God no matter what, my brothers and sisters. The will of God and the work of God in your life will always be met with not only adversity, but with suffering. How many of us know Paul the Apostle suffered in his three missionary journeys before he was finally beheaded in the end? But he says, hallelujah, have obeyed God and done all He's called me to do. How many want to fulfill their calling that God has called you and His purpose for you? 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and 1 and verse 8. He says, for I would not have you ignorant, brethren, would not have you ignorant of the trouble which came to us in Asia. 2 Corinthians 1 and 8, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength. He's writing this from Ephesus, if I'm not mistaken. He says, above strength, I didn't have the strength to even make it with all the problems we were going through. This is his description of what he went through in Ephesus. In so much that we were despaired even of life. I didn't even want to live. That's how many problems were coming against me. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not what? Trust in ourselves. That's why I'm telling you this morning, don't trust in your feelings. Don't trust in your emotions. Don't trust what you see or what you hear or what your present circumstances. Is anybody listening this morning? Quit looking at your present circumstances as an indicator of whether or not you're in the will of God. Because can I tell you, for most true Christians are going to go through hell, are going to go through adversity, are going to go through trials. If you're really called by God, you're going to have to suffer. You're going to have to fight this good fight of faith. You're not just going to sit back and act like it's a tiptoe to the tulips. You're going to have to press your way through some hard places. You're going to have to press through some affliction. You're going to have to pray yourself through discouragement. You're going to have to pray yourself through and fast yourself through some times of despair. But if God is with you and God has called you, you might not have much strength, but His strength will be there when you need it to make it through. He says, we didn't trust in ourselves. We got in circumstances that I didn't know how to get out of them. But somebody read that other part. But in God, which raiseth the dead. You study about Paul's missionary journey through Ephesus. When he came through there, in verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth yet what deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. How many of us know he's a deliverer? You also helping together by what? You helped us, Corinthians, through prayer. You were praying for me in my trouble. Can I tell you, every time I've ever been on a foreign field, the first thing I tell the church is, please pray. Pray around the clock. Keep praying for me in Mexico. Pray for us wherever we are, because we need your prayers. And your prayers did what? Oh, Corinthians, your prayers helped us through it. That for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. He says, thank you for praying me through. And God is faithful. Paul speaks of being in Ephesus as dealing. He talked about it as being like fighting wild beasts. 1 Corinthians 15 and 32. If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth me? If the dead rise not, let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Paul says, I didn't even want to live anymore. You got to be pretty low. You got to be really going through it to want to just die. But he's right in the center of God's will. Did you hear what I said? He was in the will of God. Can I tell you these present sufferings can't be compared with the glory that we're going to receive? If you can make it through this, hallelujah, there's going to be some rewards on the other side. Glory be to God. There's going to be some great rewards to those that stuck it through the hard times. Those that said, I'm not giving up, devil. I'm going to keep pressing forward. Oh, I know all hell's coming against me and my finances and my family and my children and my body. But devil, you're a liar. I'm going to continue to press through. I'm going to walk through every door that God opens. I'm going to obey God's call. I'm going to fight the good fight of faith. And I'm going to lay hold of all that God has provided for me to make it to the other side. And in closing, I want you to remember Nehemiah and his work. That it was met with great opposition. How many of us know that God laid it in his heart to do a great work to restore the wall in Jerusalem? For 3 days he went there and he observed. The Bible says that he told no man what God had placed within his heart to do at Jerusalem. The city had been torn down because of the Babylonian captivity. There was breaches in the walls where the enemies could come in. He came in with a plan and a vision. Can I tell you, God's got a plan for our lives. And without you having a vision of where God's taking you in your life and in your calling and the ministry upon your life, without a vision, the people perish. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean a natural vision of seeing. It speaks of a vision of having direction through God's word, that you are enlightened to understand what the will of the Lord is for your future and the doors that he opens and where you're to go, what you're to do, where you're to work. This is the vision. Without you having a vision of where God's taking you, what he's called you to do, you've got to have a destination. You might not see all the details, but you can say, I know God's called me to be a part of this ministry. I know God's called me to work here. I know God's called me for this time and this season to do this. Without you having that vision, you will get discouraged and frustrated in your personal life because you want, listen, we're creatures that want to know. We want to know. And without knowing, there comes an anxiety and frustration. How many want to fulfill their call? Hallelujah. Nehemiah said, God put it in my heart to rebuild the wall in the city. And one of the greatest scriptures that I like is how God brings this unity in verse through Nehemiah 4 and 6. The Bible says, so they built the wall. They completed that work. And all the wall was what? Joined together. Unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. Not everybody wants to work. But if God can just give us a few good men and women that say, I want to be a part of what God's doing. Now, as they began to work and during the building of that, who did they come up against? Tobiah, Sanballat. These were the enemies that tried to come in and hinder him. God had opened a great door for Nehemiah. Great opportunity to work for God. But it was met with great opposition. But I want to conclude with this. All of Paul's suffering and spreading this gospel was for God's will to be done. 2 Corinthians 11 and 23. Are they ministers of Christ? He says, I speak as a fool. He says, let me tell you about what I had to go through for Christ's sake. He says, I was more abundant in stripes than any other of you brothers. Above measure. I was put in prison more frequent than any of you ever were put in prison. Besides those things that are without, these are the natural things that I suffered. Now he goes on to say, that which cometh upon me daily, though, my biggest concern was not me and what I was going through physically. My biggest concern was the care of all the churches, the people. My concern was the people that I can't give up because so many lives depend upon what I do. How many lives are going to be affected if you don't keep pressing forward and obeying God. Our children, our church family, our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. If you don't do what God's called you to do, other people will miss out. I've shared this statement before. Winston Churchill had a statement. He says, if you're going through hell in life, just keep on going. Why do you want to stop and take a pit stop in hell? I mean, the only way you're going to get out of some trials is just to keep on going. You know how you get out of a valley? Don't pitch a tent in that valley. Keep on going forward. Can somebody say, I'm going forward? I'm going through the doors of opportunity. And though Satan rages, I shall not be defeated, because I have the power in the name of the Lord.